Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophecy, especially the one that we have just read from the book of Isaiah. Lord, for many years, people were waiting to see this come true. But you have chosen us to live in the time when this prophecy has come true, at least in part. And we are thankful, Lord, that you chose to set us at this time in history. But Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of us now individually so that you might spring forth new life in each one of us. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Life is a balancing act. We have to constantly balance between our work lives and our home lives, between tending to things that are important versus things that are urgent, between spending and saving. But have you ever wondered about balancing the old and the new? Dwelling on the past versus looking to the future. Well, each of these has its role and significance in our lives, right? When we focus on the old, it helps us to learn from mistakes of the past. It helps us to build on the skills that we have. It helps us to deepen friendships. It helps us to remember our roots, where we come from. On the other hand, focusing on the new helps to keep life fresh and exciting. It helps to expand our horizons and grow in new ways. In the Bible, we have verses that ask us to do both, to remember what God has done in the past, and also to journey with God into new terrain. God wants us to cherish the lessons of the past, but he also wants us to be sensitive to the new things that he is doing in our midst. Today, we stand at the beginning of not just a new year, but a new decade as well. This, I think, is a good time to think about the new. Entering a new year is like reaching the shore of a new land that is waiting to be explored. To help us deal with this moment, I have chosen a passage from Isaiah chapter 43. It was a prophecy that God was about to do a new thing for his people. In many ways, Isaiah 43 and 44 are as true for us today as it was when this prophecy was first fulfilled at the time of Jesus. So let's get exploring. Our passage opens with Isaiah speaking God's words, and I'm going to paraphrase it. In it, God says, "I am the God who rescued you from Egypt by opening up a way through the water and making a dry path through the sea. I drowned a whole mighty army of Egypt so that your enemies could be destroyed and you all could be safe. And through that process, I took you from a bunch of slaves and formed you as a new nation, a nation that would one day be the envy of the whole world. But if you think that was great, you have not seen anything yet. Because I am about to do something even greater." And now I'm going to read exactly from verse 18 to 21 from the New Living Translation. And this is what God says, and I quote, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. So what is God saying here? God is saying to his people that the new thing he is about to do is much greater than anything they have seen God do in the past. And what is this new thing? It is a pathway in the wilderness and water in the desert. And the result of these things that God is going to do is that one day God's chosen people will be refreshed and the whole nation will someday honor God before the whole world. All right? So let me break this down for you. What God is saying, and he's saying that he's already started doing this thing, this new thing, is that he is going to do, in effect, three things. One is that he's going to create a pathway in the wilderness. He's going to create a river in the wasteland. And the effect of these two things, the pathway and the river, is that it'll have a transforming effect on God's people, and so that he will take them from being a bunch of rebellious, hard-hearted, stiff-necked creatures into people that will actually bring honor to God across the whole world. Now, you know it is hard for people to change, right? So saying that these people, probably the hardest people to deal with in the whole world, that they are going to be transformed, is really a big deal, right? Something that has never happened before in the history of the world. So, two things. A highway through the wilderness and rivers in the wasteland. That is what is going to cause this massive transformation. Now, all of this is Hebrew poetry. They're all metaphors. So let me translate the first two metaphors for you. The first metaphor is this highway that God wants to create in the wilderness. Having just driven 1,000 miles from Alabama to Kansas City, going through Memphis, Nashville, and then Branson, I can tell you that there were many times I was contemplating all of the engineering and financial pieces that must have been deployed to build such a highway through forests, rivers, and all kinds of terrain. Also that Sonia and I could fly through that landscape at 60, 70 miles, and probably even higher to get to our destination. Now, I'm not going to reveal all the speeds that I hit at, in case somebody listens to this online and gives me a retrospective ticket. But the point is that having a highway through all of that landscape means that you can race to your destination. If this was the United States with the wilderness intact, maybe somewhere in the 17th century, I can assure you that a version of me living in the 17th century would never have been able to reach this point on the map in 3 days or maybe even 3 months. Probably never. I would have probably been lost badly. But no worries, because the promise is that God is about to do a new thing. And the new thing is that his people will be able to reach a special destination that would have been otherwise humanly impossible to reach. So that's the first thing that God is telling his people, that I am going to make a highway in the wilderness that will enable you to reach destinations that would have been otherwise impossible for you to reach. The second thing that God is doing, or promises to do, is to transform the wasteland into a refreshing river. The river that will quench your thirst and irrigate the parched fields. This river is also a metaphor, of course, and a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. It is spelt out in this way in the following verse, and it says, "And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children." So the effect of God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, flowing through this landscape will be that His people will be refreshed as they journey to this impossible destination on this highway that God has created. After all, even highway speedsters need rest stops and sustenance along the way, right? So what is this new thing that God is doing? Well, He is giving His people two things, a highway and a river. A highway to enable people to get to a new destination, and a river to refresh and sustain His people along the way. Now, to fully understand the situation, we also need to understand the old situation that His people were in. And that is what verse 22 to 28 is talking about. You see, just before that, in verse 21, God says, "I created Israel for myself." In other words, God created a special nation, a people who would represent Him and do His will in the world. A nation that would worship Yahweh and be used by God to fulfill His plan for the whole world. But Israel did not really function in that way. Verse 22 to 28 is a list of the complaints that God has about His own people. And let me list it out for you. It says, "You refuse to ask for my help." What that means is that God's chosen people did not choose to depend upon Him. Then it says, "You've grown tired of me." In other words, God's chosen people have gone weary of their own God. And then it says, "You've not brought me sheep or goat for burnt offerings." In other words, God's people have not honored God or given God the honor that was due to Him. And then it says, "Instead, you burdened me with your sins." In other words, God's chosen people have fallen for every temptation and followed the desires of their own heart. Verse 28 says, "And that is why I have disgraced your priests and decreed the complete destruction of Jacob and shame for Israel." In other words, God's only possible response to the way that all people in general have responded to Him, and even His own chosen people, His only response to the way that these two groups of people have responded is to bring destruction upon everyone and shame on His own chosen people. This destruction and shame-covered people is the wilderness that God is describing in Isaiah 43. This is the desolate landscape that God sees when He looks at the world that He created. But it is in this very landscape that God says He is about to do a new thing. It is in this landscape that God says He is about to put a new highway and a river. And the effect of this highway and river will be that God's chosen people will start acting as His people. Verse 5 puts it this way. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Some will proudly proclaim, "I belong to the Lord." Others will say, "I am a descendant of Jacob." Some will write the Lord's name on their hands and will take the name of Israel as their own. So in other words, the new thing that God is doing is that He is going to send His Holy Spirit on His chosen people, so that where previously there was only dishonor and spiritual lifelessness, now there's going to be new spiritual life. People will have their very identity transformed from within themselves, so they will begin to speak and act upon this new identity. And when God's people do that, they will be taken to this new promised land, which is the kingdom of God. God promised from the time of Isaiah to create this highway that will take his own people into the kingdom of God. Now, at the time that this prophecy was made, in Isaiah's time, it was about 600 BC. So this was a very, very future event. But post the coming of Jesus, this prophecy to us, to you and me, is a present reality. When he says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it?" That is God speaking to you and me. Those who live in this time, those of us, we live in this time of the fulfillment of Isaiah 43. So we need, more than anybody else, to be watching out for this new thing that God is doing around us. And this is where we come in. If we are God's people, who God has given us the spiritual life, then we should be able to see what God is doing, where he is planting new spiritual life all around us. So the task for us as a church in this new year is to be new life detectors. Why? Because where there is new life, you know that God is working. And where God is working, there we should be working too, partnering with God. Because that's simply how God operates. He never just does everything by himself, although he could, right? The way God works is he first starts something and then he recruits his people to be part of that work. So if God is creating this new life, if he is doing this new thing, how then can we detect it so that we can partner with God in this work, in this new year? Well, to recognize something in others, we have to first experience it ourselves, right? So step one is to look for what new thing is God doing in your own life. In other words, ask yourself, what has God done for you and in you recently? Maybe even this past week, or maybe as recently as the past 24 hours. This could be something big, like a coming to Jesus moment, but it could be something small, like you read something in your devotion this morning and the passage just jumped at you and you saw something you never saw before. You see, if you read something in a passage and you see something you've never seen before, it's not because something got added to your Bible that morning, right? Nothing gets added to the Bible ever since the closing of the canon. Do you know when the canon was closed? It was in AD 367. So nothing has been added to the Bible since that point of time. So if you are seeing something new in Scripture, it is because he has given you new eyes to see something that was always there, but you did not see it before. And that shows you that the living Holy Spirit is working in your life. When you see God work in your own life, it kind of wakes you up, doesn't it? It kind of fills you up with this new wonder about who this God is and what he is doing in this world, right? Now, if you haven't really had this experience of detecting God doing something new recently, speak to him, ask him, beg of him, and he will do something new in your life. And that will revive you and refresh you and give you a new excitement. God wants you to be in that place of newness and excitement. The psalmist says, you know, God's mercies are new every morning. And he wants each of his people to be able to attest to that every single day. So ask God, and he will give you this newness of his of life in you. And when you know what it feels like to have new life spring in you, then you know what to look for in the people around you. So after yourself, the next place to look for new life is in our church community. This community is not just a club or a social group that has been created for people who kind of are like each other to have a good time, right? The church is a community that has been formed by God for God's purposes. So when we come together as community, it's a good opportunity to go deeper in our questions of each other, to be able to share what God has been doing in our lives, and then to be able to ask each other questions. Then we will be that iron sharpened, we will experience that iron sharpening iron effect that the book of Proverbs talks about. When we become good at these spiritual conversations among ourselves and in the safety of our church, then we will be able to take those kind of conversations outside our four walls as well. I don't just mean going up to strangers or acquaintances and asking them if they believe in Jesus. In most instances, that may be too much too soon. But you can ask God to take you deeper with some people that God puts in your path. You will be surprised at what opportunities God might open up for you. I remember after our last ISI Christmas party, I was taking some of our visiting Chinese scholars back home to KUMC. There was a half an hour drive, and so I prayed and asked God to help me to see what he's doing with these individuals. After all, they signed up to come for a Christmas party, right, with ISI. And so I began asking them, and it turned out that every one of them said that they were really taken aback by what we had presented to them at the Christmas party. Because guess what? Christmas is actually celebrated in China. It's actually a very big celebration in Japan. But the thing about their celebrations is that it's completely secular. It's all about parties, and it's all about buying gifts and wrapping it up and giving gifts to people. But they never think about what is behind that, or why they even celebrate Christmas, or why is Christmas even a thing. They never think about that. And so when we presented the meaning of Christmas and even where all of the customs came from, suddenly they had a lot to think about. And I was able to engage them in that conversation. God had opened their minds to the message of Christmas in so many ways, and I didn't really have the time to deal with all of the open threads and opportunities that I had on that trip. Now, if you're thinking that maybe these people are different because they came to an ISI event, well, let me give you another example. Christmas morning, Sonia and I were taking an Uber to the airport, right? And the guy who came to drive us happened to be a Muslim who came from Ethiopia. And this guy was a young guy, but very, very talkative. And he got talking right away. And so he was asking where we came from. And so I said, you know, we came from India and that I'm a pastor. And he was super surprised that I'm from India and I'm not in computers, right? So then he had asked me, so how did you make this transition and why are you doing what you're doing? And so we got an opportunity to talk quite a bit, and I was able to share the entire gospel with him and share my testimony and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know what the effect of all of that is, and that's really not my problem. That's God's problem. But the important thing is that God was doing something in that moment. And he opened the door and he gave us opportunities to share all kinds of things. You see, once you are spiritually prepared for a conversation, all kinds of spiritual discoveries are there to be made. You have to catch people when they are open to talking and then pray that God would lead you in the right way into those conversations and just watch and wait and see what God will do. He will open up the conversation. Of course, not everyone is going to be open to spiritual things and talking with you. But if they are not, don't worry about it. You can move on to the next person. The trick is finding where God is working, and then you have the opportunity to seize what God is doing and work on that. When you do find a person who is willing to have a productive spiritual conversation, seize that opportunity, partner with God to have that spiritual conversation, and that will enable this particular individual to take one step further on his spiritual journey, to get one step further along this highway in the wilderness that God has created. Just one step. That's how it works. That new thing that God is doing is going to enable that God is doing in somebody's life. Well, in that God has crossed their paths with you so that you will be able to take them one step forward on their spiritual journey. Now, if you're thinking, I don't see those kind of opportunities in my life, well, this is what I want to tell you. You will only see what you are looking for. Now, there's this interesting phenomena that I've come across in my life. You see, if you decide to buy a new car and you do all your research as to which car you need to buy, and then you decide, okay, so I'm going to buy a Toyota. Now, when you go on the streets, every second car happens to be a Toyota. I don't know if you've ever come across this effect, but I certainly have. You see, the proportion of Toyota has never changed overnight. It's the way it's always been. It's just your perception. When you look for something, you keep seeing it everywhere you look, right? So if you look for new spiritual opportunities, opportunities for spiritual conversations, now you will start noticing those opportunities everywhere you look. So imagine if all of us became new life detectors. We would all collectively bump our spiritual awareness of what God is doing all around us, won't we? So think about this on three levels. Look for what God is doing in your own life first. Then look for what God is doing in our church community. And then in the community around us. And when you spot what God is doing around us, imagine how exciting that would make your spiritual journey and mine. And imagine if we were so sensitive to God's, what God is doing, the new things that God is doing all around us. Imagine what our church community could look like at the end of this year, 2020. So will you sign up to be new life detectors? I hope you will. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you promised to do a new thing in our midst. A new thing that is greater than everything that you have done in our life in the past. And you have done some pretty amazing things in our lives. But Lord, we know that you are an amazing God and you function according to the measure of your infinite magnificence. And so you're always building on what you have done. So Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing all of us into this new year and giving us this privilege of seeing what new thing you're going to do in our midst. So Lord, we pray that you would just do amazing things in our midst, in this church, in this neighborhood, in this new year 2020, Lord. Help each one of us to participate in that. And help us, O Lord, to be conduits for new life in our midst. To be able to bring forth the kingdom of God, to be ambassadors to the kingdom of God, to be people who can point out the presence of the kingdom of God, and to be able to be those agents who are going to go forth and expand the kingdom of God in this year. So help us, O Lord. Help each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.